In Roman culture, when he came from 12 to 13, a boy moved from childhood to adulthood. So this is Jesus just becoming a grown-up and taking responsibility. And this is the episode that takes place in the temple. And he's there, he's away from his parents for 3 days. I mean, imagine how the parents would have felt. Imagine, you know, losing. I remember when our children were little, you know, if you lost them for a couple of minutes, if you're in a big store, you know, and they went behind a rack or something, you were frantic. But imagine 3 whole days. Mary must and Joseph must have been completely out of their minds. Of course, they were travelling in one of these big convoys, these big caravans. It was safe to travel like that in those days. And they had an extended family. This idea of the village to bring up a child was very much more part of culture then, wasn't it? You were a really extended family. And of course they missed him, so they have to go back, and oh, dreadful really. And then they find him after 3 days. That's a poignant term, after 3 days, because you know that whenever you hear 3 days in the Bible, it takes you back to the crucifixion. And they find him in the temple precincts, where he's going to end up being judged by these Jewish leaders. So it's all very poignant. It's all very, very poignant. And I wanted to do 3 things this sermon. Just think a little bit about the upbringing of Jesus and his background, a little bit about how that affected his message, and then just try and draw some lessons for us from today. And you think of Jesus growing up in Nazareth with his parents, in this extended family. We're told that he had 4 brothers and sisters, so it's quite a big family that he comes from. Our Roman Catholic friends would say they weren't his actual blood brothers and sisters. They were either cousins or they were children from a previous marriage of Joseph. That's the way the theology goes, because, of course, they want this idea of perpetual virginity and Mary never having had sex. So you have this, but you have this extended family. He's definitely part of an extended family. And it's poor. Jesus comes from a very, very poor family. A poor peasant Mediterranean family. We're told he was a carpenter and the son of a carpenter. The word is technon. It sort of means a bit like a builder. But it's not... I was trying to think what I was trying to get across. What I'm trying to say is Jesus wasn't some sort of highly skilled artisan who was making cabinets or, you know, bespoke wooden furniture. Jesus was a labourer type guy. He was a builder. He built stuff. He would have had, you know, hard hands. And there wasn't rich people, poor people, and then middle classes. There were rich people and poor people. Jesus would have been poor. And it's really important to remember this. There was no sort of separate layers of artisans and stuff like that. In fact, you know, his family didn't even have land. There was no land. They were just laborers. So Jesus is he's growing up in a conquered country, in a poor town, in a poor family. This was difficult. It was a difficult upbringing. But it was also, of course, very Jewish. It was a very Jewish upbringing. We're told that every year his parents made this trek to the temple. So he was brought up with all of the instruction of Judaism and all that it entailed. But the incredible thing is that in spite of that upbringing, Jesus changed his view of Judaism massively. Jesus was brought up with a God who flooded the world and killed everybody apart from Noah. Jesus brought up with the image of, you know, Elijah the prophet, who sent a bird to maul 42 kids because they called him Baldy Head. He was brought up with the doctrines of Moses. Moses who was angry with his troops because they'd gone and they'd conquered the people, but they hadn't killed the women and children. You know, this was the kind of religion that Jesus was brought up with. It was a really hard religion. It was a really vicious religion in many ways. And God was quite cruel. And Jesus isn't like that at all. Not at all. Jesus is somebody who comes and he wants to eradicate poverty. The poverty that he had in his upbringing, he wants to do away with. Jesus is much more in terms of, Jeremy Corbyn called him a socialist. I think we could argue about that for a long, long time, couldn't we? But certainly Jesus wants to see a redistribution of wealth. He talks about how hard it is for the rich people, that's all the people up there, to get into heaven. It's going to be really difficult. He wants to heal. He heals people for free. It's the NHS, isn't it, really? He heals people for free. And he feeds people for free. And he doesn't have any concern about them becoming dependent on a welfare state. He wants to give away because he sees these poor people and he has compassion on them. And the whole life of Jesus is governed by compassion and care. And he teaches about a compassionate God. Of course, this teaching of it, they say if you speak about compassion, they canonize you, they make you a saint. Whereas if you talk about justice, they crucify you. And of course, that's what Jesus did. He went on from just talking about compassion to wanting to change the way things are. He wanted to change so that there wasn't this terrible flood of poor people. He talked about bringing down the temple. They didn't kill Jesus because he wanted to be nice to people. They killed Jesus because he literally wanted to turn the tables. He wanted to do away with this poverty. He wanted to do away with the whole group of people who were called sinners. You know, sin wasn't sort of an individual thing that we think of it as the day. It characterized a whole group of people. All the poor people, all the sick people, all they were all sinners. And Jesus wanted to do away with that. I think it was Dom Helder Camara who said, if you feed the poor, they call you a saint. If you tell them why they're poor, that's when they want to kill you. And Jesus wanted to do that. He wanted to change things, and that was why people were angry with him. And I think a lot of that's to do with his upbringing and the kind of background that he came from. And so where does this leave us today? Well, families are really important, and upbringings for children are very, very important. Like Jesus, we have to have compassion on children, but we've also got to look at the circumstances that bring about terrible outcomes for children. The mayor constantly reminds me that I'm parent to between 240 and 270 children at a time, because of course we have looked after children in our community. 1% of children in our country generally are looked after by councils. 1%. And about 25% of people in prison are looked after children, have been looked after children. Now that should worry all of us. That should worry all of us, because these are children who should be looked after. And the reason that they should be looked after is because they come from abused homes, they've been treated badly. So they're the victims, but they end up becoming the victims. It's often said that looked after care is a stepping stone to custody. And it really shouldn't be. And so in our society, we've got to be aware of the problems that these poor children are facing. And, you know, we've got a terrible record in the church, as do lots of other agencies, you know, of damaging children. One of the great indictments that will be levelled at the church, historically looking back, is the way in which we've allowed child abuse to take place in the church. It's been absolutely atrocious. And not just the church, but, you know, other caring agencies, Scouts, care homes, all of them seem, people who've dealt with children in the past have been abusive towards children. And the church has got to be, we have got to be part of changing that, because children deserve to be treated really, really, really well and to be brought up care, because that what they are fashions what they become. And I think the problems in our society today with schools are huge. We've turned schools into competing businesses. We're taking children younger and younger into school. Now starting, you know, when they're three. And we have such pressure on schools, such pressure on teachers. You speak to teachers, you see the enormous weight and burden that they carry, all the ills of society, the broken homes, or inflicted upon the poor children. Then the children go to school and the poor teachers have got to try and sort it out, and then the teachers are being judged on the performance and how they're measuring these children's attainments and all the rest of it. I mean, it's all gone bonkers. And of course, as a church, we've got a problem that we face as well, because of course, we're taking children younger and younger and younger, because parents have to go back to work And, you know, very few parents now can have stay-at-home mums or dads and all that kind of thing. They have to sort of have a child and go straight back to work. Enormous pressure on families when they do that. And I was talking to one of our child carers, you know, because we have all the preschools and all the rest of it, and I said, you know, it's so sad they have to come so early. And they said, you know, Charlie, this period when they're with us is the most stable time some of these children have, because their homes are so kind of chaotic. And, you know, one parent in prison and all that kind of stuff that goes with damaged families. And so for us as a church, there's going to be tremendous challenges as we go forward because of the problems with families and the difficulties of bringing up children. But we have to do these two things. We have to hold together the compassion that Jesus had for people. And we have to have this desire for justice, to work for change, and to encourage our society to think about how it cares for children and how we bring them up. Amen.